Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hello, folks. It's Jim Hansen from Black Five sitting in for Mr. Gaffney doing some Secure Freedom Radio today. And we have the pleasure of talking with Andy McCarthy, a frequent contributor for National Review and the gentleman who actually convicted the blind sheikh back when we weren't taking terrorism quite as seriously and unfortunately really still aren't. And Andy, welcome to the show.
Jim, good to be with you.
Well, I wanted to get your expertise around an area where you seem to be one of the leading voices, and that is our frequent failure to notice the lawfare we're conducting against ourselves and allowing others to conduct against us. We got a terrorism suspect who we did not really spend much time interrogating and basically jumped into the what seems to be the default mode for the Obama administration, which is let's take him to court. Let's get them lawyered up and let's make sure that they get all the rights that they are somehow accorded under our system. The problem I see, and I believe you have been a leading voice in pointing out, is that severely hamstrings us as far as being able to gain intelligence, especially actionable intelligence, about what's going on. How do you feel this might have hampered us in I guess, investigating his actions, his brother's actions in Russia, and his ability to tell us what those were?
Well, Jim, when you get a situation like this, you have to make up your mind ahead of time whether you're dealing with a warfare slash national security situation or whether you're investigating a crime. If you decide you're investigating a crime, there's a whole set of protocols that apply to that. If you decide that this is a wartime situation, that the need to prove a criminal case is subordinate to the need to protect the country and therefore to gain actionable intelligence, there's a different set of protocols and a much more forgiving one in terms of gaining information that goes along with that. The problem that we have here, I think, is twofold. One is that the Obama administration's default mode, regardless of who the terrorism is committed by, assuming it's terrorism committed in the United States, I'm not now talking about their, you know, drone program against people overseas, but let's stick with here. They take the position that whenever terrorism is committed on our shores, that is a matter fit for prosecution in the criminal justice system, and therefore the regular prosecution protocols, which include Miranda warnings, obtain. And the second problem that we have with respect to that, which is a less serious problem but serious nonetheless, is that even if you could convince the Obama administration to deviate from its default mode, the problem that you have is that a military reaction or treating this as a military issue rather than a criminal justice issue requires, you know, congressional authorization through invocation by Congress of the laws of war. And what that means in a more concrete way is that Congress has to identify the enemy that we are fighting against. And, you know, the problem here is regardless of how heinous the Boston Marathon bombing was, and it's hard to think of anything on this scale that could be more heinous, do these guys who carried it out, or at least have been identified as carrying it out, fit into the category of people Congress has made the enemy for purposes of the laws of war?
Well, how are we going to find that out if we don't take the time to ask him? Well, I mean, this kid looks like a pushover. You know, he looks like the kind of guy, if you take a quick step towards him, he'd probably wet himself.
And well, I don't know about that. He was a wrestling champion in...
I don't know. I think, well, all right, regardless of his relative toughness, I think we didn't bother to find out. You know, they managed to get a judge in there way too early.
Yeah, I think here's the I think is the middle position and the one that I've been advocating, and that is that I don't think you can willy-nilly just start designating people enemy combatants. There has to be some colorable reason for suspicion that the guy fits the category of enemy that Congress has identified in the authorization of military force. In this instance, there's reason to believe that at least one of the conspirators, the older brother, got training from al-Qaeda affiliates in the northern Caucasus. There is also evidence that they copied or used at least the recipe for the kind of bomb they used that was publicized in an al-Qaeda manual, or actually their journal called Inspire. And also, finally, there's the ideological connection, which I think is too often overlooked, and that is that these guys, in their very forcible, aggressive interpretation of Islam, actually share the ideology of our enemies. I think if you take those three components together, it at least would have given the executive branch the authority to designate Dzhokhar Tsarnaev as an enemy combatant for a reasonable period of time so that the agencies could have run down the connections to al-Qaeda and our other enemies. I would point out also, Jim, that this is a problem precisely because Congress, despite the fact that some of us have been calling for this for years, continues to basically operate us under the same authorization of military force that was enacted a week after the 9/11 attacks. They have never overhauled the AUMF in order to account for the current reality of the war. So we continue to have this same problem because, you know, I think the AUMF really needs some dramatic overhaul to kind of bring it into line with who the enemy is that we're actually fighting.
Folks, we're talking with Andy McCarthy, contributor to National Review, and also the prosecutor of the Blind Sheikh from the first World Trade Center bombings. Andy, the Russian ties to me would seem to have given another good rationale for determining him to be a potential enemy combatant when the Russians asked us to investigate him, and we seem to have dropped the ball in some way. I don't want to, you know, call names to the FBI, but we did not manage to connect those dots. And now the Russians have conducted a raid over the weekend with some of the same supporters. Do you think that we may have missed the opportunity to use some interrogation tactics to find out exactly who might have trained them? Because their bombs were copied from Inspire, but not the same exact methodology. They were more advanced than what was online.
Well, look, I think there's no question, Jim, that the ball was dropped here. I mean, I I'm not looking to hammer the FBI any more than anyone else is, but you know, when you interview a guy face-to-face, as they did when they investigated in 2011 based on concerns that were raised for them by the Russian intelligence service, and then, you know, fast forward a year and you get a photograph of him as a suspect, and it turns out that you have to turn to the public for help identifying somebody that you've interviewed face-to-face because you can't do it yourself, that's a big problem. I mean, I don't know how you get around the fact that the ball was dropped here. And I think the basic problem, let's leave aside the alarming situation with the identification. The basic problem here is the FBI has imposed on itself, and I think the Justice Department has as well, basically guidelines which divorce ideology from action, so that they basically take the position that unless you are suspected of committing an actual offense of federal law, they can't investigate, even if you are animated by and adherent to an ideology that everybody knows causes the kinds of atrocities that we have seen over the years. They basically will not look at ideology. They've taken the position that to look at ideology, and I think this is an absurd position, it would somehow be a violation of the First Amendment. Therefore, despite all the evidence they had, and there was a wealth of it, that this guy, Tamerlane Tsarnaev, was a radical Muslim, and that he was beholden to the same ideology that that inspires Al-Qaeda and its affiliates to conduct terrorist attacks, they closed the file because they didn't have any evidence that he was actually doing anything as opposed to believing something.
You know, Andy, you have pointed this out so many times. We handcuff ourselves. We stop ourselves from being able to prevent these attacks and end up serving simply as the guys drawing chalk outlines around dead bodies. Folks, Andy McCarthy, former federal prosecutor and contributor to National Review, showing again why we need to change the way we look at radical Islam and their war against us. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Jim.